Well, hello everybody and welcome to this week's NPL show, the penultimate NPL show of 2019. And not only that, the last decade as well. And joining me, who's been here throughout the last 10 years of the NPL show, is James Hayes. Hello, James. How are you?
Evening, Ben. How are you doing? Been a long 10 years.
It has been a long 10 years, hasn't it? And it does feel like the 10 year, it's going to be another long 10 years. But I'm sure it'll be fine. Right. Also coming up on this week's show, we're going to be looking back at the FA Trophy results from this past week. Some epic performances. We're also going to be talking about the league. And we've got a fixture preview later with a non-league reporter from the other side of the Pennines, Tom Feeney, will be joining us. And we're going to be hearing from the managers at Basford United, Warrington Town, Buxton and Morpeth Town. All that coming up on the course of this week's show. But James, I touched upon the FA Trophy. Some remarkable results from Saturday. Let's start things off talking about the solid result, the result that we can say we've got an NPL side into the second round of the FA Trophy. Big congratulations to FC United, a 2-1 victory over Kettering Town. Kettering getting their goal on the 90th minute, setting up a bit of a tense final 5 minutes or so, but FC United rode out the storm 2-1 through to the next round, where they'll be taking on either Barrow or Atherton Colls. More on that in a second, James, but FC United safely through.
Yeah, great result there for FC United against a quite a strong Kettering. Obviously, FC United having a little bit of a shock towards the end of that game there, but came through it well. Tunyolo Wabi once again on scoring form. They look like a good little unit at this moment in time, FC United. Some teams need lead to fear coming into the next couple of weeks. But yeah, great result for them. Only team on the day to be in the hat properly. I think FC United have always said you wanted a good little trophy run to like the quarters and the semi-finals. Could this be the season it happened to him? That's a big thing.
Just to add, Tunde Owolabi is now on 21 goals. No disrespect to Grantham Town, but I could really do, as a radio producer, I could really do with Tunde scoring a hat-trick and making it 24, and then I could do some kind of advent programme on Christmas Day on FC Radio. Just throwing it out there, if anyone really cares, which I know they don't. But anyway, congratulations to FC United on progressing to the next round. As we said, they might be taking on Atherton Colls. They might be taking on Barrow, a phenomenal performance from Atherton Colls on Tuesday night. The Saturday game was postponed due to, what was it? Was it frost or rain? I can't remember. It was rain, wasn't it? It was rain.
Typical weather. Let's
yeah. It was a lot of rain. It was rain, wasn't it? So the match on Saturday was postponed. It went ahead on Tuesday night. And Atherton Colls, I think, put in a performance, a superb performance, let's be honest. Brad Cook must be so delighted. Atherton Colls 2, Barrow 2. Bit of controversy this one, though, with Vincent Bailey on 64 minutes.
They had a chance to win it as well, because didn't they have a goal disallowed in the second half as well? But going back to the game itself there, great result for Atherton, showing themselves there again, recovering from what's been a dramatic couple of weeks from losing a manager, losing some of the players. And again, the Barrow team, full of ex-NPL stars there. Jack Kindle, who got the equaliser just after 60 minutes. Well-known in Division 2. So, great little opportunity there for Everton Colby's. And I think we did say on the show last week, if there's going to be a shock in the trophy, it could be Everton, just because, again, Barrow high-flying in the National League at this moment in time. The replay won't be after Christmas, so a bit of time to prepare, concentrate on the league a little bit. They could go up to Barrow and get a result there on a Tuesday night.
Everton calls the replay, as James rightly says. When is that replay, James? That's going to be a while off.
I believe it's the 7th of January, so the week before the second round.
Right, OK. So FC United travelling to Atherton Colls at some point in January once again. But this time in the FA Trophy. No, I'm committing to it, James. No potentially about it. Also through to the next round of the FA Trophy, and a big congratulations to Matlock Town. They'll be travelling to Eastleigh on Saturday the 11th in the second round of the FA Trophy. Firstly, on Saturday, it finished 2-2. And Matlock were 2-0 up in that game as well after 66 minutes in front of a great crowd there at Causeway Lane. And then Charlie picked them back and scored an equaliser on the 86th minute. So it went to a replay, and that replay took place on Tuesday night. And that replay on Tuesday night went to extra time. It finished 1-1 after 90 minutes. And then 20 minutes into extra time, Matlock Town scored with Marcus Marshall scoring. And then Charlie again got an equaliser right at the end of extra time to take it to penalties. And then justice told Steve Kittrick's side, winning 4-3 on penalties. Matlock Town safely through. Big congratulations to everyone at the club.
Yeah, great, great giant killing. And I think, again, last week, didn't someone predict that Matlock would go and win that game as well in the normal 90?
I said 0-4. I said 0-4 would go through.
Fair enough, no problem. But the keeper did his job on the shootout. Great. Again, if you can see the highlights from the first game as well, worth a watch. Because Matlock Town gave, again, a National League side, gave him a right go. I mean, obviously, Charlie struggling at this moment in time, so Matlock made the most opportunity. But a win Matlock needed after 4 defeats on the bounce in the league.
Congratulations to Matlock Town. But commiserations to South Shields. They gave it a good go, didn't they? That's for sure. On the first game on Saturday, it finished 2-2. Southport taking the lead. Then South Shields taking the lead. And then Southport getting a late equaliser with about 8 minutes left on the clock. Taking it to a replay at Hague Avenue on Tuesday night. And unfortunately, despite Jason Gilchrist scoring against his old club after 3 minutes, Southport stretched the legs a bit during that game and won by 3-1. So commiserations to South Shields. And I suppose, I don't know whether this is a good thing or not, they can now concentrate on the league.
Very unfortunate, again, not to get a win on the Saturday. Southport's a tough place to go to in a midweek, never mind with the weather the way it was as well. Might be a blessing in disguise to go out of the stage. Well done, South Shields, for what they've done this year so far.
Yes, absolutely. Commiserations to South Shields. When they return to league matters this weekend, they'll notice that they've not been knocked off top spot. And that's because of some of the results from last Saturday in the league. Lancaster City picking up a 0-0 draw with Stalybridge Celtic at the Giant Axe. So Lancaster City now sitting still in second, the same number of points as South Shields, but South Shields have got a superior goal difference. But at the same time as Lancaster drawing, Basford and Warrington went head-to-head, and it was 1-1 between Warrington and Basford United. We'll be hearing from Steve Chettle and Paul Carden in a second. But James, your thoughts there?
You want to see some highlights from the game this weekend, go watch them on Basford, because it was a crazy match there. Jack Stunn's goals, you could see that both sides knew what it meant. But obviously, 3 points from either of them would have put them a point on top of the table. Now, at the same time, Lancaster Stalybridge, two solid sides at this moment. Lancaster City will be ruining themselves a little bit because that's 3 games on the bounce now they've failed to win. But again, just keeps the pressure up on South Shields. And again, they played the games. South Shields have got to go win the games. And this weekend, South Shields have got a tough ask coming up too. Christmas in general for all the top eight at this moment. They've all played each other.
Can I just say, when he said that then, I went, oh, who are they playing? And I should have known better. I should have known better, shouldn't I? Anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about the title race at the moment, because, you know, it is quite a hotly contested title race now. With that point for Stalybridge Celtic, the gap between top spot and Stalybridge Celtic in sixth is just 4 points, which is quite hotly contested, I'm going to say, when it comes to the promotion race this season thus far. So let's hear now from two of the teams in this title race, Basford United and Warrington Town. The two went head-to-head on Saturday, and there is 2 points separating them in the league. Warrington have got a game in hand still. That's carried on because it was a draw, a 1-1 draw. We'll be hearing from Steve Chettle in a second, but let's hear now from Paul Carden, manager at Warrington Town. So, Paul, a big thank you for joining us. And, I think it's been an interesting season thus far, but to be where you are in the league table, how are you feeling as we head towards the halfway point?
Yeah, good. I suppose every team up there and every team in the division could say we could have done better in this game or we could have done better in that game, because I think the league's been pretty inconsistent. Everyone's beaten everybody. Teams are dropping points unexpectedly. And so, you know, no one's really grabbing it by the scruff of the neck and running away with it. So it obviously makes it more exciting. It makes it more interesting. And you know, as a manager in a team that's in a playoff position, you know that you're capable of doing things, but you're also capable of things not going your way all the time. But, you know, the one thing that we have to get to as being, you know, as consistent as we were certainly last season from Christmas onwards.
The form's there, isn't it, really? I mean, five games unbeaten now, including two draws out of the last two games. But in all fairness, you played Basford and South Shields. So in those draws there, I mean, what have you learnt about where you are versus South Shields and Basford, essentially, is what I'm trying to ask you.
Well, I knew both those games would be tight. You know, the good teams, as are we. You know, I knew there wouldn't be a lot given between all the teams. And it wasn't, you know, the South Shields game was an even first half, and they had a man sent off on the stroke of half time, and I was disappointed with our performance in the second half without taking any credit away from them. One of those games where sometimes you can perform against 10 men, and but for us, it was one of those games where we didn't perform against 10 men. You know, we found it difficult to do what we're good at. Against Basford, it's a game of two halves. We absolutely dominated the first and should have been clear and out of sight. And second half, wind picked up, couldn't get out of our half and made it difficult for ourselves. You know, but probably still should have nicked it at the end, chances-wise. But yeah, so, like I say, before that, we've had some good tests before that, and we haven't been in a bad place, and we've had some good results. You know, Nantwich obviously is a good result as well. So as I say, we've just got to hang in there. We've got to show the form that we've shown of late, and we've got to make sure that we're in the mix come the end of it.
Now, it is a cliche to say there are no easy games in this league, but I think it's proven when we talk about your festive period coming up. You've got Morpeth, obviously, this weekend. You've got Witten Albion, and then you've got Bamber Bridge under Jamie Milligan. So that's going to be a very tough game in itself. So, I mean, how much preparation do you have to put into these games? Because you can't rest, can you, at all, regardless of who you're playing?
No, you put in, you know, you put in as much preparation as you can. Obviously, the way the fixtures fall over the holiday period makes it tough. But we'll be getting the lads in as often as we can, training wise. We put a schedule in place, and you know, we certainly don't look at it as, you know, oh yeah, it's Christmas time, we have time off, blah blah blah, because we don't. It's never, you know, it was never that way when I was playing. It was full time, it was in Christmas Day and stuff like that. So, you know, as I've said to you in the past, you know, the lads are getting paid. As far as I'm concerned, you know, you should have a professional mindset, and that means you're paid. You're in work over the Christmas period, so be prepared to be training in that period as well, because, you know, we need to be as on blob as we can be.
And heading into the new year and that kind of thing, you talked about the run of form Warrington had at this stage of the season. This is where it all kicked off, really, didn't it? So what's your message to the home faithful as you head into this 2020 period now? What should people be expecting?
Well, just the same. We'll never go away from having a work ethic, and because, you know, that can take you further. That will always take you further than ability alone. So, you know, if we can combine them both, which that's the plan, then, you know, we can be a force in this league, which we've proved over time after time. But there's no point talking about it. We have to continue to prove it, and you know, we'll certainly be going all out to do that. That's one thing which you'll never see us rest on anything. We just keep going for that. Once one fixture's come and gone, whether we win, lose or draw, we draw a line through it and we focus on the next. And you know, the aim is to draw a line through a lot of wins and move on to the next win. That's the plan.
Paul Carden there, manager at Warrington Town. And obviously, Warrington's last match was against Basford, or a 1-1 draw against the Nottinghamshire side. And let's hear now from Basford United's manager. On Friday, I caught up with Steve Chettle. Well, Steve, a big thank you for joining us. And, well, we're coming up to the halfway stage and I can't make head and tail of the league table at the moment. What's it like being part of this promotion title race at this moment in time?
It's tight. You know, we've looked at the tables, obviously, time and time again, and we've moved on from the first game of the season against Hyde, and we've got the reverse fixture this weekend. But it's tight up there, and I think it's going to be tight all the way through the season, and we just want to be around it.
And what did you learn from that 1-1 draw against Warrington? Because it is a bit of a cliche, there are no easy games in this league. But when you can make a case for the top 12 getting in the promotion spots or getting the playoff spots come April. There are a limited number of easy games, and Warrington away is one of those tricky ones, let's say.
Well, Warrington away is tough, and you know, we planned for it to be a tough game, and you know, we weren't disappointed. We struggled first half a little bit, and Kieran's kept in the game with three really good saves. But second half, I thought we were a whole lot better. And then, like I say, I've read all the reports from, you know, your paper and everything else. It was a proverbial game of two halves, and we stuck to our guns, and we got deserved points.
And when it comes to how you're settling in and how you're finding everything at the moment, I mean, you touch upon the preparation and that kind of thing. I mean, how important is that level of preparation, even at step three of non-league football?
Well, it's vital at any level you're at. The more preparation you can do, the more, you know, the more you're ready for the opposition. And you have a game plan that you want to try to stick to. So we obviously have our own sessions, but you know, we have people go out to the games and we have video evidence of what opposition do. So, you know, we are prepared. But when it comes to the game at 3 o'clock, you know, it's up to 11 players and five subs that can get us over the line.
And when it comes to Basford United's form at the moment, I mean, you've got the sixth best form in the league, but really, you've not really dropped that many points, have you? So that's how competitive it all is at the moment.
It is. We, you know, we were disappointed that we went lose, draw, win in the space of three games. You know, our form at home this season has been good, and we have to carry on that, and we need to pick up points away from home. Like I spoke to the lads last night after training, that, you know, we're going to have to go to teams at the top of the league and scrap and fight and get everything that we can. But when we come at home, we have to change our mindset and be positive and, you know, go for wins at home like most clubs do at this level.
And when it comes to the festive period, obviously, like you touched upon, some tricky games coming up. What are you expected over this festive period with the likes of Hyde, Grantham and Mickleover?
Well, Mickleover away is always a tough place to go. No, I think the struggle with the pitch this year and the weather recently down in Nottingham has been atrocious. So we have to be wary of the pitch for one as well. And obviously, Grantham at home on New Year's Day, we're back at home. And we look to reverse the loss that we had earlier on in the season as well. So, you know, 9 points to play for over the Christmas period, and we look to try to get as many as we can, just like everybody else with a brave band.
And enjoying it, Steve, as well. Just before we go on our merry way for Christmas and that kind of thing, are you enjoying it?
Absolutely. Yeah, loving it. Love being in charge again. Obviously, at step three club, the Northern Premier League is really competitive with some really good managers and some really good players. So I'm enjoying my contact time with the players. But when it comes to the end of the season, hopefully I enjoyed it a whole lot more. We get the prize that everybody else wants.
Steve Chettle there, manager of Basford United, joining us here on the NPL show. And just to finish off the playoff situations at the moment, Basford and Warrington slap bang in the middle of the playoffs, but only a couple of points off top spot. Radcliffe are in fifth. A great win, this, for Radcliffe. A 1-0 victory over Witton Albion. So Radcliffe leapfrogged over Witton Albion. Stalybridge Celtic with their draw wasn't good enough to stop Radcliffe leapfrogging over them, and Radcliffe are now in fifth, James. Fifth.
Yep.
Again.
Yeah.
Again. Fifth. Fifth, everyone.
I guess I being smug again a little bit. Well, I can't really. But again, another close game. Oh, and this could have been a draw on paper too, realistically. It was only a free kick from Tyrese Sinclair that sealed the point. But Witton Albion, very tough side to break down. With the top eight at this moment, it is really too close to call. We could get going to the new year having potentially 10 sides fighting for the title.
Witten, we should say, are 2 points behind Radcliffe now, just outside the playoffs, 2 points behind Stalybridge as well. Then there's FC United currently in eighth. They're 3 points behind Radcliffe to go head-to-head on New Year's Day. So that's going to be quite interesting, to say the least. Nantwich Town, currently sitting in ninth. They've dropped back a bit. They're 5 points from the playoffs. The number of games in hand have also dropped slightly. But a 2-2 draw with Buxton. Buxton were 2-0 up in that game.
Yeah, we're reviving Buxton as well, so two draws on a bounce for him now straight away. Now, which town, I think, again, I think they were all disappointed with that result, especially being 2 down within half an hour. 3 games without a win now. You look at the opportunities there, they've got the squad available there. Masali saved them at the end, and again, another one worth watching at the same time if you've not seen it already. I think Buxton, revival's back on a little bit since changing the manager.
Well, let's hear now a bit more about Buxton. Buxton with their new manager Gary Haywood at Silverlands. He's now in post, and as James says, picking up the points for the Derbyshire club. And on Friday, I caught up with the man himself. Well, Gary, a big thank you for joining us, and congratulations on your appointment. Firstly, how are you settling in?
To be honest, we're settling in really well. I thought the group's done well over the past two games, and we need to, obviously, with the league position that we're in. But with a few more additions, we could hopefully start climbing the table.
I was going to say, I mean, it's not too shabby. Two draws, but against Nantwich and Lancaster, that's pretty good, I'm going to suggest.
Well, to be honest, I think we should have beat Lancaster. I don't really like to call referees, but on the day, he gave us disallowed a goal, and which was perfectly normal. And then they got a penalty where it hit the centre half in the chest. And to be honest, Lancaster defended for the live second half. So I thought we should have edged that one out. Nantwich last week, they're a good side, Nantwich at home. We've gone two up with the elements. And then second half, to be fair, Cookie's a wary old fox, and he changed it a little bit. And we just run out of legs a little bit with not having a big squad.
And I was going to ask you about the squad and your assessment on where Buxton are at the moment, because obviously last season Buxton had a phenomenal second half of the season, which got them into the playoff places, and a few people were suggesting that could continue, and for whatever reason it's just not happened this year. But it is a decent squad on paper. So what's your assessment on where Buxton are at the moment?
Well, I'll be honest, we've gone in there and they've got quite a lot of lads on contract, but the thing is, they've got quite a lot of injuries to main people like Chippy and Olive Warren Clark and people like that, Diego. So I think they haven't had the best of times of it. And obviously, when you start getting into a bit of a rut with trying other players, and I think the previous manager, Philo, come to the end of his tether with it, you know what I mean? Because trying to get players in and in and out the door, I think with a lot of injuries, it's like I've found this week, you sign two and one drops out again. So it's at the minute the club's having a lot of injury problems.
But you have been busy in the transfer market. We're recording this on Friday evening, and you've already made a signing in the last hour or so in Alex Byrne. So and a new goalkeeper as well. Are those new signings set to continue as you start to beef up the squad a bit?
Oh yeah, definitely. I'm speaking to quite a few Coventry North managers who are my mates who might have a couple of players that when they're changing the squads, and obviously speaking to other pro clubs, we might have a couple of lads coming in from Rochdale that's been in the first team and other bits and bobs. So yeah, basically at the minute it's non-stop 24/7 on the phones, you know, meeting my mates, trying to pull favours in. So yeah, you know what it's like at this level. You've got to keep working all the time to keep going.
And keep it going. You're going to have to keep going, because the games are going to be coming thick and fast now. I mean, when it comes to your appointment at Buxton, Buxton are one of those clubs, aren't they, where, you know, they've been in the playoff places, they've been in and around the playoff places for a number of years now. The setup there with the new surface at Silverlands and that kind of thing, it does feel like a club that's just waiting really for a bit of a bounce and a bit of impetus. It must be an exciting job to have taken on.
Well, I'll be honest, I was at Ensford, and I'll be honest, I really loved my time at Ensford. I was so upset to leave, to be honest, but and obviously they was going to cut the budget, and I just couldn't break the side up. So obviously when Buxton came in, it was a breath of fresh air, because I'm working with a chairman that wants success, which is always helpful. And you know, let's hope we can try and bring it for him next season. If we can stay up, will be the main one for us. We could have a go.
I was going to ask you about what you, because obviously we're coming up to that halfway stage of the season now, where you can pretty much start with a clean slate if you so wish. So what's your assessment on what Buxton can do in the second half of the season?
Well, to be first and foremost, is we've got to turn the draws into wins. That's a start, and get up the table. And, you know, as long as we get safe this year, obviously that's the only pressure we've put on ourselves. We want to stay in the league, obviously. And then next season we'll look at it again, and then, like you say, clean slate. I can get the players in who I want to get in then, and we can have a bit of a go then.
And to immediate matters, obviously Scarborough this weekend, and then the big derby for Buxton fans, Matlock on Boxing Day. How's the squad shaping up for these games? And what's your message to the home faithful as you head into these two big matches over the next 7 days or so?
Well, you know, Scarborough, they've hit a rich vein of form. You know, now Daz has gone in there, he's got him going. So tomorrow's not going to be easy for us, but we're going to have a good go. And then Matlock, you know, local derbies, they can go either any way. It's who's got the biggest desire and want to win, isn't it, really? That's how I see it. But hopefully we'd like to take 6 points, but take something out. The games are better than nothing at the moment.
And are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, you know, I enjoy that the people up there are very welcoming. The chairman's very good. The secretary's a lovely chap. To be fair, it's just a lovely place to be around. And you can't say that from any clubs, but they really are grateful for what you do for them.
Gary Hayward there, manager at Buxton, joining us here on the NPL show. And we should say Buxton then sitting third bottom in the league table. That draw, they would have hoped, would have moved them slightly more away from Gainsborough Trinity, but Gainsborough Trinity picking up a 1-1 draw at Ewan Fields. That's a good result, that, for Curtis Woodhouse's side.
Yes, but again, just revive that little bit of a revival. They've not won in six now. Will be highly disappointed with what's gone on. Big opportunity missed there, especially with the team bottom of the table, just to join the playoff race coming into Christmas.
Well, Hyde are now 5 points from the playoffs. Also 5 points from the playoffs, ironically, is Scarborough Athletic. They've now crept up on Hyde United, like a tiger, if you will. Scarborough Athletic 4, Mickleover Sports 1. The best result so far under Darren Kelly, I'm going to suggest.
Yeah, and they get a very well-deserved performance as well. Mickleover didn't exactly go up there and lay down for him. So the scoreline doesn't do it justice there to Mickleover, because they did actually perform quite well on the day too. I think just Scarborough started to turn out a little bit of a gear, and I think going into the new year, the teams in the top 10 at this moment will be fearing Scarborough.
Speaking of the East Coast theme, let's go from Scarborough now just a bit further north to Morpeth. Morpeth with a 2-1 win against Grantham Town on Saturday. That sees Morpeth now maintain that gap between themselves and Scarborough. They're 2 points behind Scarborough, but have got 7 games in hand over Scarborough. They're also 7 points from the playoff positions and have got 3 games in hand over Radcliffe. So it's Morpeth just there, putting the results in and moving up the table ever so slightly, and heading into Christmas poised, it looks like, to pounce on the teams above them. For more now on Morpeth Town, let's hear from their manager. Here's Nick Gray. Well, Nick, a big thank you for joining us, and congratulations for that great win on Saturday against Grantham. And you started to motor now. How was the weekend?
It was a tough game, difficult conditions. The pitch was wobbly, and obviously, you know, they're not a bad team at home. They're quite direct and quite predictable what they do, but they're effective what they do. We knew it was going to be hard, and we grew into the game. Thought they started better, and then we got a goal right on half time, which was a great time to score. And then the second half, I thought we were the stronger team. We kept on going, and unfortunately, we got a goal in the last 5 minutes or 10 minutes, whatever it was.
Now, it's nice interviewing you at last, where you've played double-figure games for the league campaign. I mean, it's been one of them seasons for Morpeth where you've been trying to play catch-up. But you must be generally pleased with where you are at the moment, because you are in the slipstream of a lot of teams above you. And I'd imagine they are looking at you going, what are Morpeth going to do next? So is that a good position to be in, where you're flying under the radar a bit?
I would rather have the points in the bag, as they say, but we can't. We're doing okay. I think we've been beaten twice this season, or three maybe times in the season. So we're going the right way, and I just think it is disappointing losing games. We've lost games for the front night failure, frozen pitches, games waterlogged. But I think if you ask the players, it's a case of would they rather play or fail. I think they'd rather play. So we now feel as though we've got 20. Really good players. So, you know, you might have to play some on the Saturday and rest them for the Tuesday, vice versa. So, like I say, it's an old cliche. I mean, I think you take each game as it comes, but I think we've got 7 games on the 2 teams directly above us, you know. So, we are in a good place, but as I say, we're finding out about all the teams. We're finding out every game is difficult. We are now trying to, our first target is getting the top half of the table, because we've been in the bottom half for quite a while now. So, if we have a couple of games, we won't get maximum points that hopefully would take us at the top off, because if you have a look at the results, no game during the weekend surprises you. What happens is there's a lot of draws, because both teams are both going for it. The league is a tight league, and I generally think there's probably a dozen teams and you get into the playoffs.
Because you've got so many games coming up, you're going to need that big squad, like you say. But you have been making some changes to the squad. I mean, how important are the new signings that are coming in, and what's your general vibe as you try and mould the squad and adapt to the games that are going to be coming up?
Well, we let three go up permanently, and two lads have gone on loan to get game time. I mean, sometimes you identify where you need to strengthen, and we knew we had a couple of areas where we need to strengthen. So sometimes you have to sacrifice players for the sake of it. And if players aren't getting minutes, you know, you understand that they want to go and get minutes elsewhere. So we have made some changes, but we've brought in Steve Jimmel's come back, who's got a great pedigree. Callum Williams, who was at Spymore and played over 30 odd games last year. We know what his pedigree is. He's a great attacking fullback, or he can play anywhere across the back four. And Carl Finnegan, who was at South Shields the last couple of years, and he went down to the North League because he got offered a job. He didn't particularly enjoy playing the North League. He felt he had a lot to offer, and he's come in and with them training, them type of players that just raise the bar and train. You can see that the levels have gone again, higher again. You know, got Liam Noble in the season from Hartlepool. So we're in a good place, and now I'm looking at, we've got 20 players where if someone's struggling a little bit, he'll come in and he'll do well, or someone needs a rest. Obviously, Ben Sayre, who missed a lot this season, he's now desperate to get back in now, and he's very close to coming back. We'll send him on loan for a month, or we'll gradually build him in the next month, but he's flying at the minute in training as well. So I'm looking now at the squad thinking, we ain't got any weaknesses in the 19-20, whereas maybe 6-7 weeks ago, possibly thought, I'm carrying a couple of players because we're not getting to a high standards. And that sometimes happens when new signings come in and players not being able to adapt to the level. But we're in a really good place now, and the signs we've got, like I say, in training the last 2 weeks, have just raised the bar in training, and that's brought everyone else on an extra peg or two.
I mean, what have you made of this season thus far? Because obviously it's a brand new venture for the club, but competing very, very well. Like you say, only lost three games out of the 14, and you know, put some good performances in, had some good displays, good outcomes from matches. So how are you finding life as we head towards the midway point?
If you're not at it, you'll get punished. I mean, we played Barmer Bridge, and that game could have went either way. They won 3-0. On the day, but we had some good chances in that game, and we gave some disappointing goals. So, you know, as I say, it is a wide open league. It's very competitive. Our home form is really good, decent on that, but we need improvement away form. So that's what we're targeting. Is we'll look to try and get two results away from home, a win or a draw. We don't look to say we must win games away from home. I think sometimes a point away from home is a good point, and you won't know until the end of the season. But I think We're going to try and be a little bit more tighter away from home and not be a little bit gung-ho. Like, we're trying to say we must try and get the 3 points. So we're learning pretty quickly. And as I say, yeah, we've got some tough games over the Christmas. We're going to Warrington on Saturday, tomorrow, obviously. Then you've got Scarborough and Whitby, two teams that Whitby have already beaten us, so we know a bit about them. I haven't played Scarborough yet, and we know that'll be tough. So they're all great games to be involved in, and they just know that if you're not at it, then you'll get punished.
I was going to say about the upcoming games over the festive period, because it's obviously you've got two big local derbies coming up with Scarborough and Whitby, but Saturday's game against Warrington looming large, that's going to be a very good indication of where your boys are heading into 2020.
Yeah, I mean, it's a laugh when you say the two local derbies are about 2 hours away from us. So
to me, it's local. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, but the Warrington one, we played in the first game of the season. We knew it was tough. Obviously, they're great pedigree, and we know how close they came last year to get promoted. On the day, could have went either way. We maybe surprised them a little bit. We scored goals at the right time. But they're up there. We know they would be up there, and they're a good side. And we know tomorrow is probably no disrespect to the teams we've played, probably going to be the toughest test at home tomorrow. So we'll have a good idea where we're at after tomorrow's game.
Nick Gray there, manager of Morpeth Town, joining us here on the NPL show. And we'll stick with the East Coast theme a bit longer, because a bit further south from Morpeth, if you're following from the geography that was given you earlier, we've got Whitby. Whitby suffered a 1-0 defeat at home to Bamber Bridge. A great result that for Bamber Bridge. They've opened up a hell of a gap now between themselves and the bottom three. Bamber Bridge there under Jamie Milligan. It looks like it worked a treat on Saturday.
Yeah, indeed. So, and again, what I see from Bamber Bridge a little bit. 3 wins out of 4 now. Scoring goals, and again, not necessarily the same players as well. They bring his own little routines in there. Chris Marlowe, good result there. Glam to go up to the North East and get come away 1-0 win. Again, just had a little bit of revival. Puts pressure on the likes of, when we were saying a couple of weeks ago, Grantham's, Matlock's, Whitby's, to start performing a little bit.
Well, that's our look for Saturday's results in the league and as well as the FA Trophy, of course, last weekend. We're going to be joined shortly by Thomas Feeney, non-league reporter from the other side of the Pennines, to talk about this weekend's matches. But James, just before we go, just a bit of comparing diaries and that kind of thing. We should say we're going to be back earlier next week. That's because we're doing our little Christmas supplemental podcast. There's not going to be any interviews or anything like that with managers or anything like that. They deserve Christmas off. But we'll be back with a little bit of a results roundup and a preview for Boxing Day's games. And that podcast will be out, when do I commit to this? On Christmas Eve. That's when it was out last year, wasn't it? On Christmas Eve. We'll have that podcast out for you. So look out for that one. But James, a big thank you for joining us for this particular show, and we'll speak to you next week.
No, it's been, thank you very much.
And a big thank you to James Hayes for joining us on this week's show. But it's now time to draw a line under the past and gaze into the future. And my eyes are caught by the Pennines. I'm just going over the Pennines. There he is. It's Thomas Feeney joining us now. Hello, Tom. How are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you.
Fixture preview for this weekend's matches. And shall we start with the top end of the table? Probably, I say this every time, don't I? And then I get caught up. But I'm going to suggest this is game of the day. It's First hosting Fifth. South Shields hosting Radcliffe. Oh, this is a banana skin for South Shields, I'll be honest.
Well, I think what you've got to say is, in terms of the form table, Radcliffe are top with, in the last 10 games, they've won 8, only 2 losses. And yeah, it is an absolutely massive banana skin for South Shields. I think, you know, when you look at their home form and how impressive it's been over the last few seasons, obviously, you know, they lost a home game not too long ago against Lancaster. And I think this is one of those games they really will have to be at their best, because Radcliffe are a team full of confidence. And obviously, you know, how many weeks ago, it looked like South Shields were just running away with this league. Obviously, they've got games in hand on some of the teams around them, but they are only 4 points ahead of Radcliffe, and they've played the same amount of games. So it just shows you what a great run Radcliffe have been on and how they've used all them games in hand that they had to good effect.
If results go a certain way this weekend, now this is quite remarkable, we could have the top 5 separated by 1 point. Which would be, if results go a certain way, which would be quite remarkable, really. In fact, it could be the top 6 separated by 1 point. What am I talking about? Quite astounding stuff. South Shields were obviously in FA Trophy action last weekend. They were a bit fortunate that Lancaster were playing Stalybridge and Basford were playing Warrington, and all 4 of them drew. So they didn't lose too much ground. But it does feel like one of those weekends where we could be heading into Boxing Day with all kinds of craziness up at the top end of the table. For that to happen, obviously certain things have to happen. Stafford Rangers will be hosting second placed Lancaster City. Stafford Rangers picked up a win in their last league outing, which was a couple of weeks ago now. So stranger things have happened. But Lancaster, since Mark Fell's taken a back seat temporarily, they've been drawing a lot of games.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for Stafford Rangers, after how many losses in a row to beat Radcliffe again, you know, beating the team that are in form, showing that anyone in this league can beat anyone, that will have given them a massive confidence boost. And yeah, I suppose, you know, if you're going to be facing Lancaster City, who have had an incredible start to the season, now you could argue it's the time to do it after drawing to Buxton and then obviously drawing to Stalybridge Celtic. But then a part of me thinks, you know, they'll be looking and thinking, good grief, you know, if Radcliffe and South Shields, if they draw, or Radcliffe beat South Shields, if we can get the result, we're going to be top of the league going into Christmas, which, you know, is a massive incentive for the side. So I think this is another one of those really interesting games, because there is so much on the line for both teams. Because obviously for Stafford Rangers, they could move out the relegation places with a win and a couple of results going their way.
And that'd be amazing as well, considering just a couple of weeks ago, all the teams around them were getting rid of their management and trying to get that new management bounced. And Stafford stood still, didn't they? And Well, a win, and they could beat Lancaster this weekend, and then, like you say, out the relegation places. Quite remarkable stuff. Baseford United are currently sitting in third position. They're hosting Hyde United, currently sitting in 10th, 5 points outside the playoffs. I mean, I mentioned how tight it could get towards the top end. It could start to spread out a bit in mid-table land as well if certain teams aren't careful.
Yeah, definitely. I think it is one of those leagues where, because any team can go on a five-game winning run, any team also can go on a five-game losing run. And I think, you know, when you're looking at Hyde United, obviously their eyes are going to be very much firmly on them top five places right now. You know, a win on Saturday and they would be very much in and around them places going into the next few weeks. But bad result for them and they could drop four or five places come the end of the day. I think they could drop to, I think it'd be about 13th in the table. So, you know, they could go from being aiming for them playoff places to then all of a sudden being going down a few places just with one result. And I think that just shows you how competitive it all is. But I think for Hyde, you know, they obviously their eyes are on them top five places. And a win against Baseford United would give them a lot of confidence knowing they can get that result. But again, for Baseford, you know, their eyes have to be on top spot, don't they? Because, you know, they know South Shields and Radcliffe, that's going to be a tight game. Lancaster might not be able to beat Stafford, and all of a sudden, they could be the team that are top of the table on Christmas Day. And I think that is a major motivation for all these teams to know, you know, there is something about going into Christmas Day top of the league, just knowing that, you know, kind of like that midway point of the season, to know that you're top of the table, it would give whoever that team is a really big boost.
Yeah, and another team who could be top of the table on Christmas Day is Warrington Town, but easier said than done. They're travelling to Morpeth Town, who suddenly started to claw the way up the table. Now, everyone's got to keep an eye on Morpeth, haven't they, with the games in hand they've got. This is a tough game for Warrington.
Definitely, you know, and I think the thing for Morpeth is they're kind of the team, I think them and Whitby are the two that I look at where you think they've still got quite a few more games in hand than other teams, but, you know, they beat Nantwich Town, they then beat Grantham Town in the last league game, and they've got seven games in hand on some teams. I mean, it's absolutely incredible, and they know if they can just string a little bit of a run together, they really can be in and around them playoff places. And, you know, for Warrington, they've had a great run of form. I think it's one loss in 10 in the league. With what happened last season and the motivation they must have to get so near to being promoted and for it to go via that super playoff game. You know, to me, they're the team that maybe have that little bit of a chip on the shoulder after last season, you know, to have won that regular playoff final and have to go to this super playoff. And I do wonder just if that could maybe just at the end of it all make a bit of a difference for the team, because they will look and think, you know what, we don't want the playoffs this season. Let's, you know, try our absolute hardest to get into that top spot. And with the quality they've got in that squad as well, you know, they've certainly got a very good chance of doing so.
Let's talk about Stalybridge Celtic, currently sitting sixth, 32 points, just 4 points off top spot. They have played a few games more than everyone else around them, but Stalybridge this weekend hosting Michalovce Sports. And I say it again, if it goes back to league placing, Stalybridge Celtic could find themselves in fourth position, just a point off league leaders if results go a certain way on Saturday. I know I've said that numerous times now. I just think it'd be funny if it happened. But yeah, I mean, Stalybridge Celtic up there on merit, and it's all set to continue, really, if form's anything to go by.
Yeah, and I think you look at their last five games, four wins and a draw in the league, and after last season, the transformation they've had in their form, you can only really see it continuing. Obviously, they will be looking, though, and, you know, at the thing that Radcliffe gained that win against Witten, and that meant they're out of the playoff places, and they're a team that will look and think, you know what, Christmas Day, we'd like to be in them top five places, and, you know, you keep saying it, I keep looking at this table and thinking, wow, that, you know, it's absolutely incredible how many leagues right now are so boring where the top teams basically won it already. You know, it'd take a massive shock. Well, I don't know how far you can go down to, really, because I still think FC United have got a chance of winning it.
What do you mean, still?
You know, I know that'll be a blinking to your heart, but I think, you know, it's one of those where I just think it really is just too close to call right now. And you know, I'm probably still looking and thinking, God, anyone can basically win it, you know, in the top 10 places. So it's just an incredible season so far. And it's fantastic, you know, to know just how competitive this league is.
Yeah, it really is. And Witten Albion can also get involved in the playoff places come 5 o'clock on Saturday. Witten Albion hosting Whitby Town. What do you think's happened at Whitby over recent games?
I think what it is they had a, you know, that cup run, and what they've also had is a lot of injuries. You know, that all three of their, what I would call their three key attacking players, have all picked up injuries. You know, they've been in positions where they've been bringing on the goal, a second choice goalkeeper as a striker for the last 5 minutes. That was in the FA Cup tie, and I just think it is a case that, you know, they really went for quality over quantity, which is on paper is a great idea, but they've had a lot of bad luck with injuries. And then obviously, then, you know, a couple of results haven't gone their way as well. And, you know, I think their last win was against Ashton United, and, you know, they'd won three in a row going into that, and then since then they've not won in seven. So I think for them, I still think Chris Hardy, you know, will know that it might just be a bit of a waiting game. Get them players back fit. They've still got games in hand on some of the teams around them. And, you know, if that can happen, they've got a good chance of doing something. But it's just very much a case to me. I do feel like they're the team that can genuinely say they've just had that little bit of bad luck during the last few weeks, especially just losing so many key players all at the same time.
Witten Albion with a chance to go in the playoffs if they can overcome Whitby Town. But Whitby Town, as you said, looking to get back up towards the top half of the table. Thomas Feeney on the MPL show the 20th of December said that he still thinks FC United can make the playoffs. FC United against Grantham Town on Saturday. 3 points the gap. FC United looking to continue a great run of form they're on at the moment. But Grantham Town, they've beaten FC United already this season.
Yeah, I'm going to say you've misquoted me. I'm saying you can win it still.
Oh, sorry. Oh, that's.
I'm saying you can still finish top spot.
In an era of fake news, I thought we were better than that on the show. I do apologise. he still thinks FC United can get promoted, everybody. Still. So, anyway, carry on.
And you do realise now I've said that, this is where FC United's form just plummets off the cliff.
Oh, as I keep saying, FC United are just here for a good time. That's what it is. carry on.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's been an incredible run for the side. And, you know, obviously that win over Kettering as well, just results like that can really build something. But I think the thing is, you know, I know a few people that have been to games, and they say the atmosphere, the change in atmosphere compared to last season at home matches, it's like a transformation. And I think you've got to look and say that is full credit to the staff and players there. And five unbeaten in the league, you know, really the only losses in the last 10 have been against South Shields and Basford. And, you know, they know if they can continue this good run of form, then, you know, really anything is possible. And they are another team. I look at the quality that they've got, especially in the forward positions, and I do think that could be a real difference come the end of it. So, again, I hate sitting on the fence here. I think I'm going to say every team in the top 10 can win it, but I have just got a sneaky feeling it will be FC United. Yeah, and I'm not just saying that because I'm talking to you.
Thank you. We should say, I mean, you mentioned the top 10. Scarborough have got a run going, haven't they? And Scarborough travelling to Buxton this weekend. The Darren Kelly effect. I mean, everyone who swims in the circles I swim in, I had a sneaky feeling that as soon as Darren Kelly goes in that dressing room and, you know, does what Darren Kelly does really well and creates a bit of a whirlwind and gets everyone up, it was only a matter of time, and it seems to have happened.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you look at the fact that they won three games in a row since he came in the league, and that hadn't happened in over a year before that, it just shows you how inconsistent they've been. But it also shows you the impact Darren Kelly's had immediately. And I think for him, the big thing was that win over Whitby, because immediately, you know, that is how you get everyone on board with you. You face your local rivals and you defeat them. And I think the thing as well is, I didn't see one Scarborough Athletic fan say, oh, not him. You know, why has that happened? Everybody went, that's a great appointment. And on paper and in reality, it was a really good appointment. And I think what you've got to say is, I think we're going to have to say the top 12, aren't we? Because obviously Morpeth have got seven games in hand as well. So, yeah, right, we'll say the top 12 have still got a chance. And I think, you know, I do think Scarborough now might... I'm not sitting on the fence here. They will definitely finish in the top five places come the end of it, because I think on paper... they've got a fantastic squad. They finally now got that manager who, for some reason under John Deasy, it just wasn't clicking, it wasn't working. Under Darren Kelly, it clearly is working. And I just can see now them having a very good couple of weeks. Again, now I've said that, expect Buxton to win and win comfortably. And I'm sorry to the Scarborough fans for saying that, but I do think they will be in them top five places come the end of it.
Well, Scarborough currently on 27 points. Nantwich Town are just two places above them, but are also on 27 points. They've also got games in hand as well over a couple of teams above them as well. Nantwich will be travelling to Gainsborough this weekend. Currently bottom of the table, Gainsborough as well, following that victory for Stafford a couple of weeks ago. Atherton Coles, Bamber Bridge... they're starting to move away, so the options are looking a bit limited all of a sudden for teams you can drag in.
Definitely, you know, I think the thing for Gainsborough they will look at is say, since Curtis Woodhouse took over, in terms of league matches, they've not had too many, you know, and they gained a really good point away at Hyde United last time round. Very narrow defeat against Scarborough, a narrow loss against Morpeth, a good point against FC United. You know, I think... The signs of improvement in terms of results are there in many respects, but I think it's the performances so far that will really give them hope. And, you know, for them, it would be a massive statement if they could beat Nantwich, you know, get that result. And all of a sudden, you know, if they do that, there is that chance they won't be in the relegation places if results go, you know, I think three results have to go their way for that to happen and they gain the victory. But... you know, weirder things have happened. And I think for Gainsborough, it does feel to me Curtis Woodhouse has now kind of, he's implementing the blueprint that he wanted. It's now just a case of trying to pick that run of form going. And it might be one of them where if they get that first win, all of a sudden, one becomes two, two becomes three, and all of a sudden, they're kind of that team that are kind of drifting away from the relegation place, is kind of into mid-table obscurity. Where they are right now, obviously, they take that for the next couple of months.
Yes, one team who they'll be looking at, though, to try and... actually, two teams they'll be looking to try and drag in is Atherton Coles and Ashton United. The pair go head-to-head this weekend. Very early in Mike Clegg's career at Hurst Cross to be going back to Atherton Coles. But Atherton Coles, what a performance against Barrow.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I've got to say this now, this is the game of the weekend to me, because the storyline is incredible, isn't it? You know, a manager who did, as basically works wonders at Atherton, now is back. This is a crucial game for Ashton, because when you look at that squad on paper, you know, when that squad was being put together, you saw it and thought, well, they're going for it. You know, they are going for it. They got relegated last season, they want to be going straight back up, and for whatever reason, it just hasn't worked. It just hasn't clicked for them. And now, you know, they've broken the transfer record in terms of a signing. They're really trying to make this impact. But they've got a massive risk here that they are going to end up Christmas Day being in the bottom three places. And for Atherton, it'd be a massive result if they could gain that after such an impressive performance against the team that are top of the National League in the FA Trophy.
Yeah, absolutely. And one last game as well to talk about. And I'm quite intrigued by this game as well. Bamber Bridge hosting Matlock Town. Matlock Town, you know, we speak about the performance of Atherton against Barrow, but great performance by Matlock against Charlie over two games. Bamber Bridge under Jamie Milligan. I mean, there's a chance for Bamber. The one thing that Bamber have got against them at the moment is just how many games they played. But we saw that with Mickleover, didn't we? It doesn't really matter as long as you've got the points on the board. Form's form.
Again, you talk about managerial change. Jamie Milligan comes in and immediately everyone's saying, what a great appointment that is. You know, in terms of he got the club, he knows what's happening. Then they bring on Brett Ormerod as a part-time coach as well, which again can only help, really. Another person who gets the club and obviously is someone who has that real experience at that highest level. And then the big thing, they got that first victory while in charge, beating Whitby Town. And like you said, you know, it is a case, as long as you've got the points on the board, normally that does see you right. And you just wonder how much that game for Matlock will have taken out of them, you know, to face Chorley, to you know, over to over 180 minutes to be so close to victory and then have to do it via penalties. I do just wonder how much that will have taken out of the team, but it works two ways, doesn't it? You know, in terms of Matlock, they might be thinking, you know what, we could have played on Wednesday, the day after that win, because they'll have been on cloud nine after such an impressive win. So really tough to call this, but I do just feel that Bamber Bridge will be fine now. I think they've got the appointment right, and I can really see them kicking on now and picking up the points.
Well, there we go. Well, Thomas Feeney, a non-league reporter from Yorkshire, a big thank you for joining us. Before you go, just a quick plug for your work. Are you off to Hereford this weekend to take it?
Yes, I am. That's going
to
be fun.
It's a great trip. It's not a great trip, but when you get there, it's a great stadium to watch your football, that's for sure. So how can people follow you on Twitter and your non-league musings and that kind of thing?
Oh, well, if you want to give me a follow on Twitter, it's at Thomasine. It is very heavily Yorkshire-based, but that's the way we all like it, I'm told.
And a big thank you to Thomas Feeney for joining us on this week's show. And that's it for the MPL show for this week. A big thank you to all my guests for joining me. And wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Northern Premier League side, make sure that you have fun. Bye-bye.